chapter 17, Romans 8:28. One Sunday morning after I'd returned from Texas, I went to church with Darren and Dean. It started off like any other Sunday, although I had another one of those nightmares where I saw Sunshine's torture happening over and over again. For some time, I'd been seeing her mutilated body everywhere, while awake as well as asleep. At church that morning, the song service, the three of us were standing with arms raised in praise for our Lord. Tears began streaming down my face, and my mind focused absolutely on the love and adoration I felt for our Lord. Even though I didn't understand everything about what had happened, I now knew with every breath in my body, every ounce of me, that I would forever and always love and praise my Lord. Never again would I or could I blame my Heavenly Father for something I didn't understand. Suddenly, I found myself near the ceiling. I turned and looked back to where I'd been standing, and there was my body still standing next to Darren and Dean. My arms were raised in praise. I realized that I was out of my body. My physical self was over there, but my spiritual self was going on an exciting journey. Looking in front of me from up there, I saw a large, beautiful angel. I anxiously reached out to him. The next thing I knew, we were going through the darkened sky. The sky was lit in what I knew to be prayers of the saints back on earth. Columns of light moving upward. Some were long and bright and brilliant. Some were smaller, and some were very dim and straight. The larger ones were about a foot in diameter and 6 or 7 feet long. The smaller ones about an inch in diameter and looked about a foot long. The small ones were weak and wobbly and looked gnarled. They climbed upward uncertainly, and I wondered if they would make it to where they were going. But the large pair shot up fast, bold and strong. I saw that these prayers were front-loaded with praise for our Heavenly Father. It was the praise for our Lord that gave them their speed and power. In these mighty prayers, crowding the dark sky, I could also see the love and devotion of the sender of the prayer. And near the bottom of each one were the sender's unselfish request. It was obvious to me that these were the prayers that went directly to the throne of God Almighty. Nothing was going to slow them down. It wasn't the importance of the sender that made the difference, but the purity of the sender's heart. Some prayers had been sent by big people in a loud and flashy way, but their hearts were shallow, and their loud prayers were bitten and gnarled by demons that pervaded the atmosphere over the earth. It made me sad to see the slow, dim prayers. I was thinking, I know they'll get there, but with such little power, how will they get God's attention? But the bold, spirit-filled, praise-loaded prayers were like big rockets in the sky. Next, I was standing and looking through, kind of looked like a porthole into heaven. I have never had an image of anything as good as this, as perfect and as beautiful as the scene I was looking at. Not only the beauty I could see with my eyes, but the beauty and joy and perfect ecstasy I could feel. No moment of happiness I had ever experienced on earth could compare with the sweet warmth of the love which the scene permeated me with. Out in the distance, I saw the throne of God Himself. I could make out the foundation levels of Chaldoni emerald topaz, the very one Sunshine and I had studied while she was in the hospital. They were so very much more beautiful than I had imagined them. The throne was made of solid gold, and there were seraphim and cherubim that flew all around and above the throne in constant constant praise of our great Lord God. Waves of heat or energy were emanating from the throne and distorting the sky behind it. I was so humbled to know that God, my Father, Creator of heaven and earth, dwelled here, and that I had the privilege of seeing it, and that soon I would live here. How undeserving I am to share in all this. The throne was encircled by a majestic city. There were so many mansions I couldn't count them, and I saw many more were being built. The workers were going about their tasks joyfully, reveling in their work, going about it with such speed and joy, and I got excited too. I sensed in my spirit that their happy anticipation and excitement was because of our soon arrival. Then I saw the river coming out from the city and around the hillside. It was a lot wider than I'd always thought. It looked like it was about 3/4 of a mile wide. I knew that in the river there were all the wonderful creatures God had made for us that weren't on the earth anymore. They weren't really gone forever, I thought. The river was lined with trees, so beautiful, overarching trees that someday we would be able to sit under and enjoy all this. What an incredible privilege. Coming from the city and following the curve of the river was a wide road of pure gold. On either side was the most beautiful emerald green grass, glistening as though every blade were laced with diamonds. And I saw coming over the road a procession of people, thousands and thousands of them. I heard wonderful music coming from the procession as they sang and played their instruments. First in the procession were the praise singers, walking with their arms raised and their voices giving out beautiful melodies. Just behind them were the hundreds of harp players, then hundreds of horn players, then hundreds of cymbal and bell players. Behind them, more people were coming. The parade extended further away than my eyes could see. In front of the procession was Sunshine. This was her coordination. This procession was to honor her for our service to our Lord. All around were angels. Some were flying, some were walking, with thousands of people that were behind her. My view, I looked out over a beautiful emerald green hill. On the side of the hill, I saw two little girls. They were sitting on the hillside near a large tree. Off to one side of them, I saw a white horse. Although he was very close to the little girls, I knew he couldn't hurt them. In fact, he couldn't hurt them, or the little girls could never be harmed anymore. I knew who they were and how they came to be there. One of them was in a car accident. Her name was Jessica. She was about 8 years old. The little girl beside her had been burnt in a fire. Her name was Rebecca. She was about 10 years old. The two of them were playing together and enjoying the procession. The grass around them was covered with flowers of every gleaming, glowing color possible. Over to my right was a mountain made of gold, and a throne and platform were carved out of the side of the mountain. Standing on the platform was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, facing the procession, which was moving towards the foot of this mountain. There at the base of the platform where the road ended, I saw a half circle of people. I looked at their faces and I knew who they were, even though some of them I did not recognize by sight. There was my great-grandfather, my mother's father. I remember feeling such love and appreciation for my mother's father. Not only had he prayed for us while he was on earth, but this great, sweet man of God had the privilege of asking God in person to save and claim for his own all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I saw my dear sweet Uncle Vernon, my mother's younger brother, who had died just a few years after my mother and grandmother. He had been my spiritual father on earth, and he too had been praying for all of his children, his grandchildren, and nieces and nephews. He too had God's ear in person. Then I looked at the face of my beautiful grandmother. Oh, how God had used her while she was on earth. How unfailing she had served him. Even in the great pain of her last few weeks, she had praised him. Then my heart jumped with happiness when I saw my sweet mama. Dear Jesus, she did make it. I knew in my spirit that no one here knew she had committed suicide, that the sin had been erased by the blood of our Jesus. I also knew that when I came to live here, I would not know it either, that she did get to go to heaven. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, she was there. The overwhelming power of the blood of Jesus became so real and alive to me then. I knew the sin of my mother, my grandmother, my uncle. They had not led faultless or sinless life. But here, absolutely no sin or transgression is recorded on their account. All sins were obliterated by the blood of Jesus. Had he not have suffered, been crucified, and shed his blood for us, none of this would have been possible. No one could have ever been good enough to receive all this. I think I'd always taken the blood of Jesus cleansing for our sin for granted. I've always known about it and accepted it as fact, but only now could I truly understand the significance of it. I looked at the multitude of people and thought, not only my mama and my family, but each and every one of these people are here only because Jesus' blood erased their sin. All sins, from the greatest to the smallest, were totally erased. There is no remembrance of any sin or transgression from anyone's past. No one can feel more or less worthy than the other. Each one is as innocent as the next. How wonderful, how glorious it all is. Then the procession came to a stop. My sunshine, my sweet baby girl, stood there in a solid white and gold gown, so beautiful that I can't describe it. A wreath of flowers was around her head. The wedding gown I had made for her was nothing in comparison to this. She was so very, very beautiful. There wasn't a single mark on her little face, not a single blemish. The only visible sign of her torture on earth was in her wrist. The marks that had been such horrifying nail holes were now shining diamonds. She was encircled with light. Brilliant light of every color. There was lavender and pink and purple and yellow and a lot of white, but mostly shades of emerald green. I knew this was her crown of honor. When I read about a crown in the Bible, I always pictured a gold thing that you wear on your head. Now I saw that the crown is this surrounding light that everyone here had one. Sunshine's crown of emerald green signified that she was a martyr and a soul winner. It gave her special honor. It occurred to me that no one here was jealous of her high position, that they all were proud of her service to our Lord Jesus. And this brilliant light around Sunshine would be there for all eternity. For all eternity, her hours of torture would give her honor and admiration of all who lived here. Great Heavenly Father, how very much you love us, how very much you love her. and saw all different colors on different people. Some were smaller, some were brighter, some were predominantly blue, others more yellow. I could sense by these colors what their service and sacrifice of each one had been. I looked back at my mama. Her crown was beautiful, but it would have been brighter if she had let herself live longer. She had robbed herself of some of her eternal reward. Yet no one here judged her like that. They saw only her service, no more, no less. Sunshine had been looking up at Jesus. When he looked down at her, she fell to her knees and said, Jesus said, "Stand up, my child." And he extended his hand toward her. She reached out to him. Even though there were several feet of space between them, Jesus said, "Well done, Sunshine, my good and faithful servant. It is you that we have come here to honor." I was practically in shock hearing Jesus speak these words to her. Jesus is honoring Sunshine. Our Lord and our Savior is honoring Sunshine. My joy was indescribable. All the people behind her, all the praise singers, all the instrument players were there to honor her and her service to our Lord. I scanned the crowd and I saw beyond them a large gold rock. It was about 5 feet high and 10 feet wide and about 20 feet long. On the top of the rock stood Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, John, all the apostles of Jesus. In front of them, with the very best view, wearing a big proud smile, was Sunshine's friend Paul. Of all in the Bible, other than Jesus, of course, Paul was Sunshine's favorite. A shimmering glow radiated from him. His crown is just like Sunshine's, having all the brilliant colors, but mainly green, because, of course, he also was martyred and is a winner. Could Sunshine possibly have been given the same recognition as her hero, Paul? Yes, she had. There was so much to take in, but I felt so humbled and grateful for it. Oh, thank you, God, thank you, my wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father. Only you knew what was best for Sunshine. I remember how bad Sunshine's torture and death hurt me. Then I realized how it had hurt God. It really hurt his heart. He had to see it and feel her every agony. He let it happen so she could have all of this, this honor and this reward for all eternity. Then, just as suddenly as I was put here, I was spun around. Still with my angel by my side, we were looking at the dark sky. Now the prayers were coming up towards us. The angel pointed down to earth and I saw the United States upside down. The northern states were closer to me and the southern states were further away. There was a blur of frenzy activity in the atmosphere directly above the states. They were traveling with such speed back and forth, up and down, hurrying, all the demons. They were madly busy. Over the different cities, I saw demon generals giving loud, hasty commands, chasing their demon warriors to go over here, do this, do that, quickly, now go over there. Over New York City was a demon general specializing in greed and deception. His warriors were flying into people and gnarling at them. Hundreds at a time would attack one person, trying to bury themselves in him. Some people were easier for the demons to bite into than the others. I saw them trying to get into this one individual who was covered with Jesus' blood. The demons searched frantically for a place where he hadn't covered himself, where they could gnarl and scratch until they made a hole big enough to crawl in. They kept searching all over him. I thought, why don't they leave him alone? Why doesn't God stop them from bothering him? Then my angel looked at me and lovingly and said, God has, can't you see the blood? The man must do the rest himself. I looked at the city where Sunshine had been murdered, where I once felt so much at home. The general over that city was bold and powerful. His specialties were lethargy and prejudice and murder. He also had been busy sending his warriors out. By the thousands they went on attack, back and forth. How ugly they were. I watched them as they attacked and bit into one man until he was so mutilated he was void of himself and full of them instead. He no longer had control of himself, but they were controlling him. Over San Francisco was a mighty general invested with the power of perversion. But these people only want love, I thought, only love. He got them so mutilated I could barely tell they had ever been people at all. Each and every city had its own general and warriors. Our warriors, the angels, were fighting back and forth, fighting to get through the demons. Oh God, the battle was so hard, I thought. They have to fight every way they turn, but it's for us. People are all their concern. I asked my angel in my spirit if he had ever fought like that for me. He smiled a sweet, loving smile. Oh yes, he said, every day of your life. I felt such appreciation for him then. I never even knew you were there. You've always been my charge, he said. I looked back at the United States, at the intensity of the battle taking place. Now I saw a dark, evil sickle sweeping over the United States. With one sweep, it covered the whole country, then back again. It sliced people in half. People got caught on it, and their blood poured down on the states. Then a beautiful gold sickle, shiny. It also swept over the states. It picked people up too, but the evil sickle kept crashing into it. People hung on tightly to the golden sickle, but some of them were knocked off or cut in half. Their blood poured down too. The blood of the people from the golden sickle would hit the ground and put the bodies back together again. And those people were taken up. They were all uniting far above the states, and I knew they were getting ready to go home soon. Not long after all these saints were murdered, they'd all be taken home together. It would be soon, I knew, very soon. And then I felt Dean nudging me. I opened my eyes and I was back in church again. Sit down, Mom. Are you all right? Sit down. Everyone else was seated. The singing had stopped. I sat down, awed. For the next 3 days, I was in a spiritual trance. All I could do was write down in every detail my experience in heaven and above the earth. God, how I thank you for it. It wasn't just for me, beloved, but for you as well. Beloved, I've written this book as accurately and as possible and as truthfully as I could. I hope you've been able to see how our precious Lord has loved and guided Sunshine. I also hope you know his precious love and guidance in your own life too. If you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, not only as your Lord and Savior, but the master over your life, please do so now. Give yourself totally, no matter what the cost. Know that he has only good and grand things awaiting you. Here's a saying Sunshine used to say often in witnessing. If we meet and you forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus and forget him, you've lost everything. I sincerely hope, beloved, that through me reading you this book, you have met or at least seen Jesus. Sunshine's Bible by Sunshine. Let my life be the kind of life God can use even after I'm gone.